Okay, so John, 1 John chapter 2 and 18 to 27. I'm reading from the ESV, so let's read this passage. Children, it's the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. John is speaks a bit like Yoda some days. So he's a bit of a funny sort of speaker. So let's pray. Father, thank you for these words, and we pray that they can really challenge us this morning to know more about your truth, to know more about a life that has assurance in you, and a life that as we walk in this current world, our current culture, that we're not surprised of opposition of people against you. So Lord, help us to hold firmly to your truth that we read in your word, and Lord, help us to know that we are your children anointed by you. We ask you to do that through your spirit this morning. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was at Joash's place for study, and as I walked in, I saw Joash's sister on the couch, which is Alison over there, and I said, "Oh, you're Alison." And someone else there said, no, she's Rachel. She's Rachel. And I said back to this person who said that, I don't believe she's Rachel, she's Alison. This person was fully convinced that her name was Rachel. And as the person who was Alison confirmed that her name is actually Alison and not Rachel, that person turned to Joash, her brother, slightly annoyed, knowing that her brother had tricked him, and it was all a big joke, and slightly probably embarrassed. Imagine though, if you walked into the room, and not just one person was saying it's Rachel, but maybe three people are saying it's Rachel, and you're sitting there going, no, I've met her a few times at church. She's always said she's Alison. But now all these other people are saying, no, she's Rachel. And you start to think, maybe I've got it wrong. Because all these people seem pretty smart, like they're saying that she's Rachel. Maybe I've got the Alison bit wrong. And you start to feel a bit of that pressure of it being in that group dynamics where you're the odd one out. You're the one that's got it all wrong. Yet you sort of think, nah, sure I got it right. Well, I'm sure being a Christian in John's day was a bit like that sometimes. There was a lot of spiritual opinions, a lot of religious opinions on Jesus and who is Jesus and what is Jesus about. Like I said last week, the early church, they had probably two conflicting problems, oppositions. One was the Gnostics. That was, they sort of believed you could get some sort of secret knowledge. Some sort of secret knowledge as to more than what John is saying. And then you had the Jewish people with their traditions and laws, and they'd be saying, no, Jesus is not the one. We got it right, guys. There may be a Christ coming, but we're certainly, Jesus is certainly not the Christ. So many people would have had this as they're in the church, from all these backgrounds, many of the people in the church of John's writing to in Asia Minor, they would have come from these backgrounds, either probably religious, spiritual people, influenced a bit by Gnosticism, or people who have come from a Jewish background. And so many would be saying, well, we believe in Jesus, many of these false teachers, but he's not the Christ. He's just a Jewish martyr, he's just a Jewish teacher. Or the Gnostics saying, well, Jesus is not really God, he was just someone enlightened by God, and if we can get that same enlightenment, then we can be like Jesus. So there would have been lots of conflict. And so there would have been a lot of pressure from your life as a Christian, have I got Jesus right? And so as we see, as we read this passage, some are actually throwing away that truth and walking away from the church, rather than being the odd one out. They actually have decided that what John has to say about Jesus is actually wrong, and what these other people are saying is right. But as we've looked already, John says, no, I know Jesus. I walked with him. I spoke with him. We ate with him. He taught me. I have the real deal Jesus. But so as this pressure is going on with the church, Christians are probably asking themselves, have I got it right? Have I got Jesus right? So imagine for this church here, if you came this Sunday morning and half the church had gone down to the local J-Dubs. Just all picked up and left and gone down to the J-Dubs. You'd maybe start to question a little bit, you know. Is seed really got the real Jesus? Maybe starting to question, is seed a really true religion? I'm going to say Jesus is. So just because we're seed, we don't know where seed's going to be in 50 years' time. I pray it still has the gospel truth. But, you know, seed's not the key. Jesus is the key. Jesus is the one who gives us eternal life. And so as we keep on looking at John, we can see exactly what John has to say about Jesus and know it's true. So we need to continually go to God's word to see this truth. So as what John is encouraging us to do, so even though people may walk away and follow a false truth, we need to be sure that we really do have that real truth of who Jesus is. So today, as we hear God's word through John, we are being warned about this sort of peer pressure of believing and following an antichrist, and that those following this don't have the truth, and therefore they have a false Jesus to follow. But we also see that this antichrist figure, or this antichrist idea, is actually relevant for us today as it is for them, around about 90 AD. So John wants us to walk of assurance amongst this kind of opposition that comes about in our Christian walk. So in a study you'll be looking at, Bryson Smith looks at the problem in the churches being Jewish people not accepting Jesus. And therefore, these Jewish people who weren't Christians were breaking off away from fellowship with Christian Jews, sort of not accepting them. So that is one view. You'll look at that. There's other views that says it was the Gnostics that were in the church who tried to influence the believers. And because they couldn't influence the people, these Gnostics eventually left the church. Well, I think it could be either or both of these. I don't think it's really clear who John is exactly speaking to, but both influenced the early church. And they're both trying to snatch people away from the Gospels. So there are three truths from 1 John 2, 18-21. Hopefully this comes up. Three truths that come out from this passage of us how to walk of assurance in the midst of hostility and opposition. So firstly, knowing there is an antichrist, or antichrist, however you want to look at it. Secondly, knowing that you have the truth of Jesus. And again, a photo shot. I like that idea. It's very modern. And then thirdly, knowing that you have been anointed. So our first point is knowing there is an antichrist. Hopefully, I can't really tell much difference, can you? Just keep it up there. Knowing there is an antichrist. Can everyone read that? Is that all clear? Good. Let's read verses 18. Hey?
Pretty black and white.
That's good. That's what John is. He's pretty black and white. Pretty light and darkness. Hey? Oh, okay. Very good. Verse 18 to 19. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now how many Antichrists have come? Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they were not They are not of us. So it's interesting that there's a lot of hype about the Antichrist and Antichrists, however you want to look at it. Some think the Antichrist is a person who's going to appear before Jesus returns. Some people think the Antichrist will bring chaos to the world. And you actually discover that a lot of cults, there's some good Christians that also hold some viewpoints on this, which is all good. But there's lots of cults that create a whole new church around this whole Antichrist idea. They really lure people in. They actually cause people to watch nearly every world event and just try and read into it and come up with all sorts of weird stuff, some far-out teachings. I actually did a Google search, and nearly everyone that's been in major power has been named the Antichrist. The Pope, Hitler, Obama, Trump, you can keep on going, there's just heaps more. All get the title on Google of Antichrist. Somewhere along the track, someone's done a banner or something. But when John wrote this, he wasn't wasting ink when he wrote this letter to this early church. It's written for them and us to know who this Antichrist is. It's not written for us to figure out 2,000 years later what some political person's going to be and is going to be the Antichrist. He wrote this for those in the first century, struggling Christians. And yet it has a timeless truth for us for every generation. So John wants us to know that there is opposition to Jesus in our world. There is an Antichrist at work. They've heard through John's gospel the Antichrist is coming. And the reality is true that many Antichrists have already come, according to John, in that particular time. And they're still coming today. Why? Well, John tells us we're in the last hours. So Satan and his lies will continue to attack the church. They will continue to influence people and draw people away from the truth and believe a lie. So even though Satan's power, his darkness, is coming to an end, the reality is there's always still opposition to Jesus, to the gospel and to the truth. And we can feel that, can't we? As we live in our culture right now, we can feel that pressure. It's nothing new. They felt the same thing back then. The Antichrists are at work then and they're at work now. But John reminds us this is the last hours. In other words, the darkness is coming to an end. But we can know that God has a plan for our world according to his timing. Darkness is not the end of the story. Eternity is. God is light. His light is eternal. The reality is Antichrists exist then and now because it's the last hour. So don't be surprised if our culture opposes Jesus or people oppose Jesus and his commands. Don't be surprised if people hate you because you follow Jesus, because you believe that he is the only way to have eternal life. People didn't like that teaching then and now. Now, this is because there are antichrists opposing Jesus. But the good news is that there is a real Christ who has appeared, and John gives authority about this real Jesus. So we've got on one side the people who oppose this, who are liars, who the truth is not in them, and we have the real truth, which is through God, through John, through the Gospels, through the Apostles' teaching. But also note, John tells us that these antichrists can be in the church. Why? Verse 19, they went out from us. Who is the us? Well, John and those who remain in fellowship with Jesus. Which is why when sort of Bryson brings across his point, I think it's more than Jews breaking fellowship with Christian Jews, because it was the us. They were with us in the sense of the church. They're breaking fellowship with John and the other believers. So what does the Antichrist look like? Verse 22 to 23. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? And this is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. So an Antichrist is someone who's religious and yet denies that Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is the one sent from God, the anointed Messiah to redeem sinners. They either deny that Jesus was fully human or they deny that Jesus was fully God. They basically say that the Jesus John knows and preaches is not the real Jesus, not the real Messiah. So when they deny Jesus according to the Gospels, they don't just deny Jesus, but they deny God the Father. That's what John is saying. You can't just deny Jesus and think you're going to get away with it. But the good news is, for those who accept the truth of Jesus, they know the Father. Isn't that great news for us? We know the Father. We are his children. We have fellowship with him. We have fellowship with him. That's all through the letter. Dear children, dear little children, we're the children of God. But as we see these antichrists in verse 19, they were sitting in churches. They were sitting in churches. They were reading the Gospels. They were singing. They were eating. They were praying together. They could be sitting in any church today. And yet they didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. Or they didn't believe that the Christ to come was the Jesus according to the Old Testament. Their very basis of why they can, why they should have fellowship was around the truth of Jesus they deny, because they deny Jesus himself. And eventually they teach others and they lead people astray and take them away. You can look at most of your cults. Most of your cults are all very much, there's something about Jesus they deny. Something about Jesus, whether he's not fully God or he's not the only way, whatever it is, there's something they deny and they try and lead people astray. Now, this is not to say that every person that leaves a church is an antichrist, so we've got to make sure that's clear. Because there's people at sea that have left churches not because those churches had an antichrist in them or antichrists in them, or that the church was an antichrist nature. So we must understand that the leaving that John is talking about is in its context. But like I said, you could imagine how it would be like if people were leaving churches and going to a J-Dub, where people would start to question their trust in Jesus. But John makes it clear, if they leave who Jesus is, they leave true fellowship. They leave the truth of the authentic testimony and command of Jesus, which John has declared in the other apostles. They may have looked authentic for a while, but they were not one of us. That's what John says, and they continue to walk in darkness. So as we walk in assurance about who Jesus is, don't be surprised if there's hostility towards Jesus, towards us. Don't be surprised if people follow all sorts of false teachers, because these aren't the last days, and there is an antichrist or antichrist at work. They're at work in our world. They're at work in our churches. And it's not something that we have to wait around for the end times. It's actually right now. We're in the last days. We're in the last hours. And so our first point is knowing there is an antichrist at work. So we need to know that. I think it's a great thing that God in his love and grace would tell us it's actually going to be tough to be a Christian. And it's actually going to be opposition. Our second point is knowing that you have the truth of who Jesus is. So how do we walk assurance in this hostility when it happens? Well, we stick to what we already know about Jesus. We stick to the truth of Jesus. We stand firm in who Jesus declares himself to be through John. Let's read verses 23 to 25. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he made us, eternal life. Just need a quick sip. So what you have heard is the truth. Jesus is the Christ. No need to look any further. That's what John is saying. Confess Jesus is the Son of God. Believe he is the Christ, the one who came from God to redeem us, to bring us into eternal life. Abide in the gospel. Abide in his word. What you have already heard, that's what he's saying to these early church. As Jesus and his word abides in you, too, abide in fellowship with God the Son and then God the Father. So it's a great little illustration. God has made us a promise that through Jesus we have eternal life, verse 25. You know, it's so often that people, you know, we have eternal life in Jesus, and we're often chasing things of false teaching that gives us no assurance. And here, John is saying, it's a promise being made to us through Jesus. You have eternal life. And if you think about the Gnostics, they would have been offering people, oh, yeah, John's sort of got a bit of ideas of Jesus, but, you know, you come to us and we'll give you a greater spiritual experience. You'll have better knowledge, deeper knowledge. You know, John's gospel is not enough. You need something more. You need some extra revelation, which was nothing really to do with Jesus. You know, even for the Gnostics, the whole idea of Jesus dying for sinners may seem weak and foolish. You know, like you, They would have seen that to be weird. And so they made a Jesus to suit themselves, denying the truth. And their teaching was all about you being puffed up, which goes back to verses 15 to 17. It goes back to the love of the world. What was the problem with the love of the world? Well, it's about human pride. It's about self-importance. It's about being puffed up. And so the Gnostics would have been puffed up people spiritually. And that's attractive. That's attractive because it's attractive alternative to a gospel of grace that says, no, actually you're a sinner and you need to be humbled under God and you receive grace from God, that Jesus had to die for your sins. That would seem humbling. And often people will offer a better gospel, a gospel of self-esteem, an attractive gospel in our churches today. They'll try to give you something that's more puffed up about yourself, which is really just the love of the world. You think about the Jews. Jesus isn't the Christ. Yes, Jesus, the Christ is coming, but this is not the guy that John teaches about. Jesus is a martyr. He's not the Christ. And so leading people back to Judaism, let's just wait for the true Messiah to come, denying that Jesus is the Christ. John is saying, why would you ever think of trading the real Jesus for all these made-up Jesuses, all this religion that's got no truth in it and it's got no eternal life connected to it, when you already have everything you need to know in Jesus? That the truth is in Jesus. Stand firm in that. So that's our second point. You need to stand firm with what you already know about Jesus. Our third and final point is knowing that you've been anointed. It's interesting that you think about it. Jesus is anointed as the Christ, and then John declares that the believers, both them and us, are also anointed. Let's read verses 20 to 21 and then 26 to 27. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. I write these things, verse 26, to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. If we think back a few weeks back, John describes us as children of light, and now we are anointed children. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, that's what he's luring to. And when we're anointed, at the beginning when we heard the gospel of truth about Jesus. It's God's light that came in, and that the person of the Holy Spirit took up residence in us. God is in us. So Jesus is the anointed Messiah, the light of the world, and we are his anointed children of light through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. So as we walk amongst hostility, false teachers, whatever it is, we can have confidence that we belong to God, that we have eternal life because of the Holy Spirit. Now, false teachers were maybe adding a new idea about Jesus, as they were often doing. Maybe you needed some real spiritual awakening. But what these believers and us have heard already is the word of truth. Like I said, they already are anointed. They already have eternal life. So we are to know this truth, that we are anointed and that we have knowledge already of the gospel. What we have is not a lie, but authentic Jesus. And so when others were coming and teaching them something new about Jesus, John's saying, ignore them. Maybe you needed some extra blessing or anointing on top of what you already had through John's gospel. John's saying, ignore them. You already have the full package. We see this sometimes in Christian circles today. Come to our church and receive an extra anointing. What does John's gospel say? You already are anointed. And he says it with God's authority. And so the teaching here, what John is referring to, is that extra revelation teaching that you somehow people would convince you need to add something more to the gospel. John's not opposing believers being taught because he's teaching them here in a letter. If that was true, he's contradicting himself. He's teaching them through this letter, pastors and teachers have always been at work in the church. It's that extra teaching on top of what you've already learnt through the apostles' word. If I start telling you something that's against God's word, you've got to start to worry. If anyone teaches you something different, you've got to start to worry. If anyone says you don't have the real deal Christianity and you already have the gospel, you already have his word abiding in you, you've already been anointed by the Holy Spirit, tell them to get lost, I reckon. Tell them to read John's gospel anyway, it might be a good start. John says, of all authority, ignore them. They have nothing more to teach you. Don't be deceived. Don't let them rip you off. You're already forgiven, you're already anointed, you already have eternal life, and you already have fellowship with God. That's what he says. What more could you want? You're already a child of God. There's nothing more needs to be added. And so you can walk with assurance that you have the complete revelation of God. You don't need anything extra. We don't need to listen to some other teachers. That's where all the cults get all their weird ideas from. And they attract people to something new. We don't need something new. We just need to know what we've already got. Some believe the gospel-centered teaching because they feel there's a lack of something being in Jesus. You know, like they need something new to be offered. What we have is reliable words of John that tell us who Jesus is, so we can walk with assurance knowing you already have Jesus, you already have everything. So the 3 points I covered this morning is knowing there is an Antichrist, know that you have the truth of Jesus, and know you have been anointed if you're in Christ. Like I said, we know that it's the last hours. Time is running out for our world. Darkness is coming to an end. The light will overcome it. And Jesus is bringing our world to an end. But as children of God, we can walk in assurance knowing these things. We can walk in assurance knowing that this is not the end of God's story. But it's also an opportunity for us to see if it's not the end of God's story, but it's coming to an end, then we need to go and tell people about Jesus. We need to tell people of an urgency of those who remain in darkness. We have still a gospel mission. That in Jesus our sins are forgiven through the cross. That all people can have eternal life through Jesus. Have full assurance of that because of his work. And be anointed by God through the Holy Spirit. And have it secured. And can walk in assurance knowing that Jesus has got their life secure in him. I want you to imagine a conversation that you could be having with a friend. Imagine if you talk to a friend and that one conversation about Jesus changed their life, that every day they woke up with hope. Every day they woke up with assurance they have eternal life in Jesus. Imagine that person thanking God every day. Imagine the people around that person's life being changed, maybe their families, just from one conversation you had. That's the positive. There's an urgency here. It's the last days. But there's a negative too. Don't be surprised if you receive hostility as you walk in the light, as you talk about Jesus, as you proclaim this is who Jesus is. God is warning us about the realities. There is an Antichrist or Antichrist at work. And so we face the same hostility as this early church. We face that same hostility. Yet we have the hope that we hold on to the truth of who Jesus is. Look and see what John teaches you about all these things. You know, so often we race off and read some book that will tell us some weird stuff about Antichrist, or we'll watch some movie that misses the point. First John tells you that the Antichrists are here, and we just need to read it to find out. But also, First John tells us you can know the truth of Jesus, and you can have eternal life. You can walk in the light as children of God. You can know that you're anointed by God, and you can know that you know the Father through Jesus. So don't allow anyone to teach you differently to God's truth. Don't allow anyone to deceive you with false claims of what true spirituality looks like. If we know these things, we can walk with assurance that we have the full package, the truth of Jesus. So let's pray and thank God for allowing us to know these truths. Thank you, Father, that we can know the truth of Jesus. What a great privilege, blessing it is, Lord. Help us not to be proud or cocky about what we know. But, Lord, let us be humbled by that, Lord, let us see the realities that, yeah, there is a hostility. But know that these are the last hours, the last moments of your kingdom. Even though, Lord, your last hour is 2,000 plus years, Lord, know that it's coming to an end. Thank you, Lord, that we know you. Thank you, Lord, that you give us eternal life and assurance. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the light into our lives, anointing us with your Spirit so we can be children of God, that we can belong to your family. Lord, help us to go and tell others about this great, wonderful truth. Help us to be like John and want to see other people have complete joy in the gospel, as we looked at in the first chapter, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you warn us not to be led astray by people who would try and teach us something that would be different to what you have taught us, as if we need something extra apart from you. Lord, help us to be mindful and stand firm in what we already know. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Feel free to encourage each other.